On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Well, as we all know, I have a large general vicinity.
Yeah, well, it's like, it's not the same as water displacement.
I haven't had a bath since I was...
Your mama is so ugly. She went to take a bath and all the water jumped out.
Damn, that's ugly.
Your mama's so fat, she sat on Walmart and it lowered the prices.
Boo. That's not even good.
Sorry, I was listening to a 9-year-old tell yo mama jokes yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's was that it. The gold? Was that the best ones?
I don't know. There was a yo mama so hairy, her armpits look
so
like.
So hairy? A 9-year-old?
Her armpits are so hairy. It looks like she's got Sasquatch in a headlock. That was the other one.
Wonderful.
And some of them are just absurd, like, your mom is so fat, she went to the beach and a whale swam up and said, we're family, even though you're fatter than me.
That is absurd. That didn't happen. I don't believe that.
Not for a second. Anyways, I like the Sasquatch one, though.
Yeah, pretty good.
So anyways, that's the end of that.
Better than having Sasquatch a head scissor or whatever it might be.
Vigorously scissoring with Sasquatch.
Would you see the band scissoring with Sasquatch?
For sure I would.
That's a t-shirt.
Opening up for Lance Boyle for and the Filthy Deeds.
Oh, awesome. I can't believe we're doing this again. Let's kick off the show with some Sens talk. You know what's going to be great is after the deadline when the Sens are completely irrelevant till the draft.
Yeah. Well, you mean more irrelevant than they are right now.
They seem to keep stealing headlines.
Making news, baby.
Dion Phaneuf continues his undercover tour to covertly get the Erik Karlsson and Drew Doughty to the Leafs contracts done before they become free agents. As he is traded to the Los Angeles Kings with Nate Thompson.
Correct.
For Marian Gaborik and something Shore. I forget, is it Drew or
Nick.
Devin or Nick or what? Yeah. So I wasn't close.
Nick Shore. Well, you know what? Drew, 4 letters. Nick, 4 letters.
Sure.
Look at you, man.
Happy coincidence. Essentially, this is dog shit contract for dog shit contract. And the difference being that the contract of Marian Gaborik that the Sens have brought in back dives in a hurry. And while the cap hit is 4.8.
4.8, yep.
The cash out is substantially less than that. Now, Ottawa is going to hang on to 25% of Phaneuf's money.
1.75.
I saw a great tweet from...
Which is far less than I... Remember, we just floated this, I think, a couple shows ago. when we talked about what it would cost. Maybe it was off air. We talked, and I said, man, I'd take $3 million. I'd retain $3 million of his salary to get rid of him because it's cheaper than buying him out.
I think it was Down Goes Brown that tweeted that Dion Phaneuf's retained salary is still the third highest paid defenseman on the Senators.
Well, and I was looking. I was on Cap Geek today, or Cap Friendly, whatever that is.
Yeah, Cap Friendly.
Not
whatever that is.
Okay.
They're doing good work.
Hey, there's four or five guys under $1.1 million. Yeah. On that defense.
Well, I think that's what he was driving at.
Yeah, so. CeCe and Carlson, yeah. Only ones making more than
I would have suspected, I guess, I don't know, that Claesson was making more than...
Claesson's making $700,000.
Okay. But, you know, between Shabbat and...
Well, Shabbat
and Borowiecki and
you know what?
Whatever, there's some low-paid fucking...
Well, and well, Borowiecki is the 1.1 guy.
Right.
And goes to 1.2 next year.
A nice little raise for Borvo.
Yeah. So, well, and then 1.2, there's a third year on this. They've extended him for 2 years, right? So, and that's manageable at $1 million.
Yeah, okay, let's not get bogged down on.
No. But I'm just saying, yeah. So they have seven guys on D under contract for $13 million right now.
Phaneuf goes to Los Angeles, where I guess he would be their number three left-handed defenseman behind Muzzin and Martinez.
He was skating at practice in Pittsburgh today with Alec Martinez.
Okay, so one of them, I guess, is going to play the offside.
He's in the four hole. Yeah, this is it. They have five guys all with the same shot, right? So,
yeah.
Somebody's going to have to play over, and clearly they're deciding they're going to go with – I think Phaneuf will probably sit in that four or five hole for them.
Yep, and that's an okay spot for them. It's fascinating to me that Los Angeles looked at what they needed to get into the playoffs and said – slower, please. We need to be bigger and slower. But that seems to be the approach that they go with down there in a Dustin Brown-centric universe and soon to be...
So there is the Gabrick back-diving contract. There is in a lot of guys, are a lot of people in the Senators community are hoping they buy him out, right, in terms of the grand plan. And he's a cheaper buyout than Phaneuf was.
Yep.
You hear a lot of talk today, people saying, oh, you know, you could put him on a top line, you could do whatever. I'm looking at his stats.
No.
Yeah. In the last 8 years, he's got 160 points. That's a nice, cool 20-point-a-season average, right? Yeah. And he's played an average of 40 games.
Yeah.
That's a large enough sample size for me. That guy's dog shit and he's gonna do nothing for you.
Well, I think it was Elliot Friedman who had on Twitter early this morning that he spoke to an NHL scout and asked, what does Gabrick have left? And the response was simply, in quotes, nothing.
I think he has a skin irritation like Marian Hossa, and he's going to go off to, you know, Lou Lamoriello 101. We're gonna put him someplace.
Oh, Melnick's not paying for a Gabrick Island.
Yeah, well, you know what it comes down to, if it was some kind of... You know, insurance.
Yeah. The deal is, though, that over the next 3 years, which both guys had left on their contract, it's in the neighborhood of $5 million cheaper to have Marian Gabrick.
They save $5 million. And you hear anywhere between $4 and $5.5 million are the numbers.
I've heard all of those. It's a hard, I haven't been able to pin down which one exactly is. But I heard it's somewhere around $5.5.2 million when you consider what they have left on this season.
You know what the most, so as you've said, it's garbage in, garbage out, and it's a savings.
It's money. For Ottawa, it's money. It's cheaper to have this. The cap hit is more on Gabrick than the actual dollars you have to pay him. He's going to earn like $3 million or whatever it's going to be with a $4.8 million cap hit because his most expensive days are behind him.
Right. And they'd like him, regardless, they'd like him to go away. And anybody who thinks he's going to come in here and they go, hey, he had 7 goals in his first 17 games. Oh, wait, we're now in middle of February and he's still got 7 goals. As a matter of fact, Nick Shore has 15 points. Gabrick has 14.
And I've never heard of Nick Shore, to be totally honest
with
you.
And what's going to happen is you're going to see Nick Shore is going to replace Thompson as a fourth line center. If they can get Nick Shore and Pajärvi re-signed next year for $2 million to play on the fourth line, that's what they're going to do. That's what you're going to see happen.
Yeah, and I've brought up on this show a few times that to me, the biggest, I don't know, travesty, if you want to call it that, the biggest strike against Pierre Dorion is that they had six bottom six forwards signed for multi-years, all of them averaging less than league average for their position.
Right.
So you've gotten out from under one of them.
You got a lot of guys. You got Burrows. You got Pyatt. You got Pageau. You got Smith. These guys are all... do the same thing, kind
and
of.
They're all on multi-year deals.
Smith and Pageau both making $3 million.
Right. So you shipped out what is probably the least valuable. Like, certainly I'll take Smith or Pageau over Nate Thompson every single day of the
week.
For
sure. For sure. But if I could get out from underneath that Smith contract,
yeah,
I'd do it. I'd keep Pageau. I'd overpay Pageau.
Well, because Smith, remember, you do, I'm sure, had that one real nice year and there was all kinds
in his contract year.
Yeah. That's how that goes.
Right. Now, you know what? Before we move on from this, and as we said, you're swapping around bad contracts and you can either, you know, it's a cheaper payout for Ottawa.
Yeah.
When you delve a little deeper into the Toronto-Ottawa trade, what it really comes down to, and like any good housewife taking care of the checkbook and moving money here to move money here to move money here so I can spend it. I've paid that line of credit, but I can still spend that money, so I'm just going to move money around. If you look at, they had no use for McCullough, Greeny, and Cowan, right? They flipped those contracts out. They take Dion in. They save. Now, it's prorated on the time of year,
yeah,
but they saved $3 million that year, so prorated to February. So what they're saving that year, they saved an even $4 million last year in Dion's only full year, right, in terms of salary out,
mm-hmm,
and what they paid Dion. And then this year, it's a prorated just million. So again, they've saved all the way along in terms of what they would have had. Now, Toronto doesn't care. I'm just saying,
no.
If you look at the Ottawa book side of this, with what they got rid of, FNUF actually saved them money.
That's... I think you're leaving out some important details there because they're going to continue to pay him 25% of his contract for the next. The money I saw from the Sixth Sense or the was that if they had simply bought out Greening and Cowan at the time instead of trading them to Toronto for FNUF, it would have cost them something like 6.2.
Okay, but you're forgetting the most expensive contract in that, which is McCulloch.
I don't think that was ever going to be bought out. He was...
Okay, no, but I'm just saying that was a contract that was gone, and he was 4.5, I think.
And that this has now cost them and will continue to cost them at the end will be something like $800,000 more. So, I mean, it's negligible. Well, I think
no matter what you do, well, because you know what the thing is? I think if you look at his full season last year, his lone full season with Ottawa, he had a better season than he had in any of the Toronto years, perhaps but one, right, stats-wise. And he was a stud for a good chunk of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it was all about expectations. And I there was too many people in Toronto. He was paid like a number one.
For sure.
Never a number one.
Well, you and I talked about that ad nauseum here when he was still a Leaf. He was a serviceable guy in a 3-4 role,
right,
which is what I always said.
Yeah.
Paid as a one, but not a one.
Yeah. If you got Carlson, who's going to get all those number one minutes, all those number one matchups or whatever, and now Dion can be Dion in a reduced role, I think you'll be fine with him. The money is going to piss you off every single time. But if you can look past that at the job he's doing.
And I think the end, when you close the door on the FNUF thing, the league has just got too fast.
Yep.
Right? In terms of, even in the last 2 years, it's just got too fast. He's got a little older, and the league has just gone to warp speed, right? And it's just past him. It's past him. And so...
I think he'll be okay in L.A.
I do too. Slotted properly.
Yep.
He needs to be with somebody who can move. If you look at CeCe, sometimes, and CeCe takes the brunt of this, he's looking for that release valve. He's ringing the puck around the end boards. FNUF's never getting there, right? He's never getting there to be that outlet, right? He's just too slow. If you can put him in a more manageable spot, I think he'll be fine. But yeah, his foot speed, terrible.
Yeah, so is CeCe. What did you think of the exchange on Saturday night between the media And Brendan Gallagher in Montreal.
Right, with Gallagher
and,
saying,
and
I don't know why
Tubert
we're talking.
We'll get to maybe.
Yeah, I don't know why we're talking about him. It's the way he wants it.
That's what
it.
He wants. I'm sure if you go ask him, he'd be happy to talk about himself.
Right.
I think the curtain has finally been drawn back on what we've all known for a very long time, and that's that they didn't like him. At least Gallagher didn't like him.
Right, and but I think it's a very solid indication that the leadership group didn't like him. Pacioretty,
yeah,
those sorts of guys. Now, clearly, Subban and Price were sort of, they had their little thing where after the game they would
low
go
fives
and they would, and they'd do their little thing. And
you didn't like the little thing?
So they had a little bromance thing going on there. I'm not entirely sure. But, yeah, I think it's very clear that the other guys in the leadership there.
Do you care about that shit?
Which
just
part?
just the Price thing where they did their little low five and it was their thing. And apparently it was to a lot of the rest of the locker room. It was them centering themselves out and PK Ward and the media. I remember it being a thing. There's always
sure.
just them.
Yeah. And they told them to stop doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
Who fucking cares?
And this is the same. And you know what? And I'm not afraid to say it's because that if PK wasn't black.
Yep. I was going to get to that later. That's
that they wouldn't, that it wouldn't be this. You know, he's a dapper gentleman, him. Like, he dresses nicely. And I remember them saying when he first got there in his first couple of years, they're like, hey, you know, don't show up in your flashy suits and your bowler hat, you know. And they're like, don't do that. Don't draw so much attention to yourself, right? So right from in his first year or two, they were already on him saying, yeah, that's not the tradition here. That's not how we handle ourselves as Canadians. And so, I mean Montreal Canadiens, yeah. Not the greater.
So, greater for sure.
Ethnic. ethnic designation.
Brendan Gallagher.
Who I got
media.
A lot of time for.
Vents to the media. They clearly had something going. He and Subban on the ice throughout the game. You know, it went how it went. He comes out and he says all these things about, and you've summarized it pretty nicely in saying that PK will be happy to talk about himself if you want to go and ask him, or why do you guys want to keep talking about PK, all these sorts of things. So did you remember, recognize the name Colton Tubert?
World junior goalie?
No, not goalie. You might be thinking.
Oh, defenseman.
Yes.
Big tall guy.
Yeah, he was a big dude. Never really went anywhere. His career didn't get. Now, interestingly.
Was he on that 09 team here?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
He was drafted by Los Angeles ahead of Drew Doughty and Erik Karlsson.
That's a bad draft.
Now, obviously.
That's the World Junior effect, though.
They must have had two first-round picks in LA because they obviously still got Doughty, but yeah, yikes.
Swing, miss. Swing, home run.
Oh, contact. Good.
That's Jose Bautista's 2017 season.
More swings than home runs.
It's true. Striking out.
Yeah.
It's that upward arc.
So Colton Tubert tweets at Brendan Gallagher. I'm sure you heard about this.
No, this is totally new to me.
Okay. After all this comes out late Saturday night, Colton Tubert, who hasn't been in the NHL, I don't know if he ever played a game, but he never turned into what he was supposed to as a first-round pick defenseman drafted ahead of Doughty and Karlsson. He sends a tweet to Brendan Gallagher. Don't let Mondays get you down.
Ooh. Seriously?
Yes. So, for those of you who don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
And there did seem to be a lot of this. People who were not familiar with that. Why that,
yeah, that
matters,
that
why
that quote.
That's so damning. It's certainly a racial thing that's supposed to be equated to nobody likes Mondays, and I guess.
I hate Mondays is what it is.
Right.
Yep.
Well, there's a few different.
Yes, of course there is.
So, and the other.
Which we are not endorsing here on this show.
No, but we're just telling you what it is. And it's supposed to be a racial thing. Everybody hates Mondays. Everybody hates black people. Now we can call black people Monday and hey, look, we're clever and covert and
we're flying. We got our racism
right.
under wraps.
Right. So this has become
what an idiot.
This has been a thing for a while. like I said, some people knew what it meant, some people didn't. Immediately, Colton Tubert's Twitter blows up with people saying, that's not fucking clever. We all know what you're...
Yeah.
And wow. It's, and all kinds of stuff starts to come out in terms of, apparently, on that 09 World Junior team, a good half of the team was had Subban's nickname as Monday. How's it going, Muns? What's up, Monday?
Oh.
And so a lot of things start to get unraveled here in terms of what... Now,
was it...
What Tubert said was, you know, yeah, everybody hates Monday. Maybe we were saying, you know, that Subban was an agitator, or that it had nothing to do with what color he was. He says he had no idea what that meant. No one's buying it, right? That all of a sudden this guy...
I'm not buying it.
No. And Gallagher, to his credit... Whew, never responded to that, right? I want no part of that. But apparently this is a thing and has been for a while. The media took it to Subban, asked. He said, I'm not going to talk about some nobody, right? But this has become very much now, again, a racial...
Some nobody. It's a guy I played with and won a gold medal with. And I get it, right?
Where's he been?
No, he's become a nobody, yeah. Right? In the past 9 or 10 years, and clearly an idiot.
Yeah. Public statement like that.
Well, honestly, that's he should be ashamed of himself. You want to do that? Yeah, whatever you think. Some stuff better kept.
Yeah.
In 1950s Alabama.
And so I wonder when we talk about these sorts of things, and I'm not saying Brendan Gallagher is racist. I'm not saying Mark Bergevin. But as we circle back around, and you brought up, and I agree with you. That there are things about PK Subban, his personality, the way he addresses things, I absolutely believe that there is a racial component to the way people react to it. That, oh, Mark Messier never would have dressed like that, or Gretzky never would have talked like that. Or it's supposed to be that good, humble, frankly, white Canadian boy from the prairies who just... And here comes this...
Straight off the farm.
Frankly... Loud, you know, black guy who looks a lot more NBA than NHL, well,
and has a bit of that sizzle, right?
Yeah,
that NBA style sizzle,
and backs it up. He's done his thing. He was on the Daily Show not too long ago. Like he's drawing attention to himself. He's making himself a star. He has a brand is the word that's thrown around a lot.
He likes to throw it around.
Yeah,
he was meeting with. Buss, the daughter of Jerry Buss.
Yeah.
You know, to help develop his brand. To me, he won a Norris Trophy, but he's not worth $9 million. If you were to redo that contract now, I'm not giving that guy $9 million.
Leading the NHL in goals by defensemen this year?
But
it's not nothing.
It's not nothing, and it isn't. But to me, he is not. Is he a top five NHL defenseman for you?
Yeah. This year, for sure. And I know you have to look bigger picture than that, but I mean, if you want to run it down, Carlson has fallen out of that this year.
Carlson's not having a great season.
Hedman.
Burns.
I have Hedman ahead of him. I would have Doughty ahead of him.
Burns has had a bad season as well.
Yeah. You know, when you want to throw around top fives, I
you think he's the best defenseman on his team?
Based on what I saw when they were through here, you know, playing Toronto last week, yeah. But I don't watch enough. And you know, Josi is very good.
And he had 2 goals in the loss here in Ottawa.
Ellis is coming off an injury at home. Like, I know they have that big top four. He was the most noticeable to me that night.
Right. Well, he's the most dynamic, but I think he still has the most defensive deficiencies.
That's probably true.
In that top four.
Yeah. So... you know, as you start to run it down and look at top five, you know, Seth Jones has probably got something to say about it. You know, there's guys, right? But
when you watch, you look at Duncan Keith with the way Chicago's plummeted.
Yeah.
Right?
Doesn't have a goal this year.
And he looks terrible.
Yeah.
Right? As they get blasted by Arizona the other night, right? And he's just standing there and guys going by him.
I picked up their backup goalie knowing he was starting that night, going, Chicago and Arizona, that's probably a win.
Oh, you're fucking me. You're killing me.
Yeah. My save percentage, my goals against.
Talking about getting blasted. Yeah, no. And so you can't lean on some of those,
yeah.
You know, your Webbers, your Keiths, yeah. your
It's and been a strange year.
Petrangelo's had an up and down season.
Yep. So to me, this year he probably is a top five defenseman. And
yeah. All right. Well, interesting. Yep. I think he's overpaid, but he is in Nashville. He's selling the game.
Absolutely. Do you agree that both Carlson and Doughty are about to get more than him?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And if whatever you, yeah, I would say at least 10% more.
I think they're both getting 10 mil.
Yep.
Yeah.
So. And so, but you know what? I'm fine with that. With if they're healthy.
Yeah. Well, and as the cap continues to go up, that's how it is, right? Sid's making 8.7 or whatever, and that's how
it
goes.
That's nice. So. Sid taking that.
Yeah. Yeah, so to me, that was an interesting little story. I think the curtain has been drawn way back now on what happened there in Montreal before he was shipped out of town.
What do you take on, as I'm kicking around on NHL.com today and you see Seattle? Yeah, I hate the website. And it's just, it's like somebody went in and said, how can we make this site shittier? Let's make it just harder to navigate and make everything just garbage.
Yeah.
Yep. NHL.com. Anyways, what I was talking about was the situation in Seattle with their formal application in, their $10 million submitted. You see that?
Yep.
Okay. Now, to me, they're already throwing out the number. A cool $150 million more than Vegas paid.
Yeah. Well,
$650.
Don't you think part of that is, hey, look at what a great team we gave Vegas.
For right? sure,
this it could
well,
not
and
have
Bettman saying,
out any
"Oh,
better.
I'm sure they're going to demand the same, you know, rules that Vegas got.
If not better.
Yeah. Okay. Can you give me $650? You got it, baby. Yeah. I will give you that.
Yeah. Nikita Zaitsev's about to become their number one defenseman. It's going to be great.
Yikes, man! But just so to me, that's a done deal.
Yeah, right? Oh yeah.
They got the Renault's to Key Arena in Seattle, and they're going to...
And it came out yesterday, I assume this is what sent you over there, that they have completed their application process.
Absolutely, yeah.
They will start, I have no doubt, within the next couple months doing one of those season ticket drives.
Well, they're saying 2020 or 2021 is when they're looking at starting.
Yeah. Well, I've seen some interesting talk already, and this came out of Edmonton, which is hilarious always for me, that... Is there a chance that they're up and wanting to go in the 2020-2021 season? If that's the case.
You talking about Edmonton?
Seattle. Yeah, exactly. look at all the guys that they will still, like, they have no choice. They have to protect Chris Russell. They have to protect Milan Lucic. They have, because of their contracts. Ooh, boy.
That's the Mark Methot, Dion Phaneuf right, thing revisited.
You're protecting shit that you have to.
Yeah. So, good luck with that.
Now, I don't know whether it'll get done that soon or not, but that's just always every show, man. Just a little jab at Edmonton because you kind of deserve it.
After you uppity bitches running around last year like you were due for another four cups in the next 5 years. Oh, wait, you're not even making the playoffs.
What has stood out to you here as we record this? Is Wednesday night. We'll try and get this up tonight. Thus far in the Olympic.
Which makes it Valentine's Day, ladies and gentlemen.
Here with my hetero life, me.
This is it. The two of us are spending our evening together. And with you, of course.
Obviously.
Because what else are you two people doing?
You two probably in the same room.
Yeah.
What has stood out to you from
Happy
Pyeongchang?
Valentine's Day, man.
Yeah, back at you.
just drinking beer, talking sports, which really is
most days. I don't need a holiday.
How could
that.
You get away from that?
Right.
I was listening to a stand up the other day talking about the problem with love, right? He's saying there's no end game.
L-O-V-E, love.
There's no end game with love. He's like, you can like somebody, and that's cool. You like somebody. And then when you no longer like them, you just stop taking their calls. And you just stop communicating with them. But when you love somebody, there's no end game. Like, what do you do? There's
got my bank account.
There's
number.
Obligation and shit. And then she goes, you know what? He goes, that's why people kill loved ones. He He's like, you don't see anybody killing people they like. It's always loved ones getting killed all over the place.
It's true, man.
Happy Valentine's Day, yeah, ladies and gentlemen.
Note, yes, Jesus Christ. Dark days.
Anyways, you know I don't subscribe to that, but.
Or I'd be dead by now.
There's a, yeah, exactly.
Rob loves me that much.
I just think a lot of people like me. That's all that is. Highly likable.
Yeah. I don't find that there's
100% of the people in my pants find that to be true.
I don't feel like there's a lot of people who are indifferent to you.
No,
I
man.
Think,
you
I
know
think
what?
You have. You pull strong opinions out of people on one side or the other.
And you know what? I think by the time I was 8, that came to me.
Did someone not give you one of those little Valentines that went in that envelope on the front of your desk?
choose you? Yeah, you know what? You'd hate to fall into that gray area. Feel strongly. Love me. Hate me. Do not be indifferent about me.
Right.
It's a true story, man. But that's how it is. That's how everyone should be.
Did you do that? Did you take little Valentines to school and drop them in
the envelope?
Of
course, man.
Yeah. Was it? I can remember at our school, they sent you home probably the day before Valentine's Day. I can't, but with a list of everyone in your class so that you didn't miss someone.
Yeah, no. See, I'm a little older than you, and it was still a colder, darker day.
There's always one kid getting
getting none, right? And everyone's like, loser. Okay, but that was the deal, right? Now, yes, we can't have that.
Yeah.
Right now, you know what? We'll see. The proof will be in the pudding that maybe there's less Unabombers and whatnot at the end of this. I fucking remember that grade 3 year and I didn't get any Valentine's days. Yep. Yeah, it happens. But
you mean like Billy Madison? And he calls that guy people to kill when he crossed them off the
with lipstick and then okay, creepo.
Awesome.
Pyeongchang.
On Pyeongchang, the first, it's Wednesday night. The men's Olympic hockey tournament opened today. We've got some medals in curling. We're doing okay at the moguls, the speed skate, luge. Got our first ever medal in luge.
Higher, faster, stronger, right? That is the Olympic model. Altius, Fortius, I don't know, Vetus.
Sure.
Vetus. Gerolitis. I have no idea. higher, faster, stronger. Get rid of judge sports. You, out. Half pipe, slope style, all whatever you're, figure skating, all those things. Anything. I'm watching figure skating. And you know what? It's the only time
it's
in 4 years.
Straight show, you've said that.
Okay. I'm watching this American girl. Maybe I'm going to reference the same thing. I'm watching this American girl skates flawless, right? And then I watch somebody else, more well-known. Now, maybe it's a higher
degree
of technicality. Yeah. Yes, I get it. But she falls, she stumbles, and scores way higher. I watch Sean White in the half pipe. Right, the Australian guy kills it, yet Sean White, name recognition, bam, gets a better score.
Alleged wife beater, girlfriend beater, whatever.
Okay, and you know what?
Beater. Let's not, I guess it was harasser.
Yeah, allegations.
Yes.
And what happened with those allegations?
As far as I know, they're still just hanging out there.
Right. And so, yeah.
As they do.
So he took a shit kicking after winning his gold medal, right? He apologized for saying, yeah, I don't want to talk about gossip.
Right.
Right. And so now he had to say how sorry he was. And I get it. But man, we are dealing in a time of very
thin.
Yeah. That it's the court of public opinion.
Yeah.
And everybody is being judged guilty. And at the end of this, you will not be innocent. You will just be not guilty. You have a bunch of people walking around.
Suspecting.
Bullshit. And a lot of real allegations, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's just a lot of shit. And I know the pendulum swings and it swings hard, right? And we're likely overdue, right?
Yeah.
But man.
Any thoughts on, I don't know if you saw it. I watched it live happened.
Are you quickly moving away from that? Look at that. Somebody shit in the corner. I'm getting this way. I get it.
Kim Boutin, who won the short track bronze medal. on the heels of a South Korean being disqualified after the fact for, I guess, what they call like an aggressive pass, right?
Yep, like bitch, you cheated. That's it.
Did you see what happened to Boutin afterwards?
Yeah, well, I know there was a bunch of, what are they calling it? Malicious.
Threats on her Instagram and her Twitter. And
same thing happened in 2014.
To her?
No, okay. to either the Italian or somebody in that final race too had the same thing happen in Sochi.
So this is a, for those who don't know, speed skating, maybe one of the, that and baseball, probably the top two national sports in Korea. Now you are in Korea. It was a Korean who got disqualified by this official that pushed Kim Boutin up into...
From fourth into the bronze medal position and the Korean out.
Right.
From and a silver so medal.
The most troubling comment on her Instagram was, "If I find you, you will die." From another, this was in South Korean alphabet, right? Like they, you are in the heart of the beast in terms of, now we have crazy motherfuckers here and in the US and around the world who put stupid shit on social media. But when you're standing in their backyard of their national sport, and there was, it was hard to read today when she stood up on the podium to get her medal. She's just sobbing, right? Now, she's a bronze medalist, and I'm not judging that because I've never been that good at anything to be an Olympic bronze medalist. Was she nervous? Because you're out there and exposed. Were you that emotional for, you didn't, I guess why I'm saying I'm not judging is you didn't win. You looked awfully emotional for someone who...
Who finished third.
Right. And who I know that comes off like a dick, but that's not my...
Who as a young athlete should just be overjoyed to make the podium.
That's right. Was she scared? Was she... Like, there's a lot of things that fly into that, and so the RCMP is involved. Obviously, the Korean officials are involved trying to... In all likelihood, nothing ever comes of this, but you are now standing in their country afraid, right? And about to be very exposed with another event to go.
Yeah, more racing still to come.
Saturday, I think she goes again. And that's, to me, a hell of a fucking story. And
yeah, that's the relay. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I think it's just a longer...
Oh, the 1,000 meter or the 1,500?
I think it's the 15 that she's in.
Because I know relays are still out, out in front of that. And if anybody watches that short track speed skating, that's like roller derby.
The relay shit is insane.
Well, nobody has any idea. I don't believe anybody knows what's happening there. Right?
It's just people, a lot of legs.
It's just people moving and elbows swinging, and you're like, I got no idea. And how does anybody know who's in the lead at that point? But
no, it's nuts.
It is crash and bang. And Canada has historically done very well.
Yep.
As have the Koreans. As have the Americans. But it's a contact sport without contact being allowed, right? There's a certain amount of jostling. It's like basketball not being a contact sport.
Did you, you've said your piece on Judge Sports. Did you get a chance to watch Lori Blouin, who did the women's slope style?
Yeah, well, and the thing that comes out of that is...
The wind?
Well, how dangerous is
that?
That's
exactly why I'm bringing this up. Almost all of the athletes, like, unanimously are, I can't believe you let us... run that with the height of some of those jumps, and you need to know, right?
And some of those women are running around a buck 10, buck 15, and it was...
Femur snap.
Well, it was so windy that they're hitting those jumps, and they're not even making it to the downslope.
Yeah. When you can see, it was one of the Canadians, Spencer something.
Spencer O'Brien.
That the Craig McMorris there, who's the expert doing the analysis, he says, you know, you can just see she got up in the air off the jump and slammed on the brakes. And when they do the replay, she just turns her board and is just, I'm just going to land. Like, fuck this, right? And to run an Olympic final that way. And I guess the way it goes is once the first athlete has gone, you can't call it off because now you're all going to compete under the same conditions. Where in my mind, let's push it back a day and that first athlete can go again. Right,
yeah,
like
yeah, we're gonna give you a mulligan on that.
These are people
who, for some people, it's they may never get an opportunity at an Olympics again. They may never qualify.
Yeah,
for some people, it's their last Olympics. Why are you putting 4 years, 8 years, a lifetime worth of work, and your life in jeopardy by running that event?
Yeah,
they already pushed back the men's.
Giant slalom.
Yeah, the downhill racing. You've put it back. If you got to extend the games, hey, you were doing events 2 days before opening ceremonies. Yes. I think you could probably do, for safety reasons, an event 2 days past.
Well, and really, what else is you know, once slope style is done, what else are you doing on that hill?
Nothing.
It's the same. So, yeah, it's now you've got more things than you wanted to running, what, next Monday. I don't even think you have to go to past the end of the games, but to just be sending people out there, forget that it fucks with your routine. It's dangerous as shit.
Well, that's right? What I'm saying. Yeah, I was starting to go through all these things, and then, you know, 4 years, lifetime worth of work, and then you go, oh, I could seriously injure myself, if not honestly die.
Yeah.
When you're jumping off those sorts of...
And TV's not doing some of those justice, man, in terms of height, some of that shit.
Well, you look at the moguls.
Yeah.
Fuck. Right? And you sort of go, okay, yeah, you're sort of the camera angles, you're looking at it going, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Then you see them from the top looking down the run, and you're like, Jesus Christ, man, that's like almost going straight down.
I'm not doing that shit on my GT snow racer, let alone a fucking...
Or in my Kodiak boots, whatever it is, right? You're like... It's the same as watching, again, with the Shaun White reference, no Canadians in the half pipe, both women and men.
Yeah.
Totally surprising. Clearly the men, the American men dominating. But that half pipe, you see that, did you see that Japanese, the 16-year-old?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yikes. And so that pipe is 22 feet deep and some of those guys are going 15 feet above it.
Same thing, right? Wind and whatever, like these things are all fucking fast. Apparently, little did I know, South Korea, windiest place in the world.
Well, and watching that men's half pipe final, it's now dusk, not dusk, but it's sort of an overcast day.
Yeah.
And everything is blending, right? You have the nice blue lines along the rim, but
right.
The snow and everything is sort of that grayish look, and athletes having a hard time identifying exactly where they are, because the number of guys who came straight down,
yeah,
who didn't sort of catch that nice rounded part, they sort of just wham. Yeah, you're looking, but everything is sort of that gray, sort of twilight, man, dangerous. When you're now looking at being 37, 40 feet in the air, twisting, flipping, and you're like, hey,
where am I supposed to land?
Where am I? And they're going straight down as opposed to that nice. Meeting the right. slope gradually yeah. and then on, but man, oh man.
So we don't have much to say yet on the Canadian men's hockey team or the women, really. The women, as I said, we're recording this Wednesday night. The women are about to, in a couple hours, face the Americans, and then the men start, the Canadian men, start their tournament against the Swiss very early tomorrow morning. Any thoughts quickly on the U.S. and the Russians both dropping game one in the men's
tournament? Despite the Americans pulling a point, they're done. They won't beat the Slovakians.
I don't know that. I think this tournament is a total shit show.
For sure, but listening to people who know as much as anybody else does, people are saying...
You're not one of the ton of smug, are you?
For sure. No. I'm not even talking about Canada.
No, I understand.
Who knows what they're going to show up
that's
with.
That's exactly it. There's a chance the Swiss might roll us in the morning.
Well, for sure. And all I'm suggesting is, to me, the Slovenians, that is the team you got to beat. The Americans have the Slovakians who are playing a tight game as it is. And people coming in saying, don't sleep on the Slovakians in this year.
Jan Mrsak.
Well... And so you look at now your easiest game, you've now lost. They have Slovakia. The Americans have Slovakia and Russia still out in front of them.
So who's to say the Americans don't step up and beat the Russians? They're looking to
I think they were saying that the Americans, their best players are three or four NCAA guys.
And Brian Gionta.
Man, oh man. And so you look at it and go,
you know he was still playing?
No, I had no idea.
I think he's their Chris Kelly. I think.
Okay. Whereas the Russians, I think, will be fine.
And that is kind of how I never really expected much out of this U.S. team. I didn't expect them to lose to Slovenia.
No, neither did I.
The Russians, even with this format where they're supposed to be it wouldn't shock me in the world or at all in the slightest if they just that's kind of what they do. It wouldn't surprise me if they roll through the whole fucking thing either. They are the favorites.
And what you have with a lot of Russian teams is on the big ice, they play that style where they're just going to take their chances. I think they went 0-for-6 on the power play. And their goaltending, Valakushkin or...
No, it was something Valechkin or something like that.
Valech is their vet.
He's like 6'7". And they had two kids. Like I think it's Ilya Samsonov is one of them who's 21 and... like guys that are ready for the NHL that haven't made it there yet.
You weren't giving me the Valakushkin.
But I'm asking you to give me the Valachechkin.
Yeah, this is it. This is what I'm saying.
It's something like that. I don't fucking know.
Anyways, and he wasn't good.
No.
Right? And there was a couple leaky goals there.
Yeah.
And
where's Jalobniak? He's my
favorite. Exactly. Talking about your own nine.
Yeah, he's my go-to Russian goalie. Yeah. Ilya Jalobniak.
Jalobniak. It's not even, it sounds Polish. Honestly, who are you? Interesting. I think the Russians will survive that. I think the Americans are, and really all it means is they're going to have a crazy quarterfinal draw.
Yeah. Well, so this is a three division tournament, which we've seen the last couple Olympics. So the three division winners and
the best second place team
are getting a bye. Everyone else has got thrown in the fucking blender.
In a quarter, sort of.
Well, a crossover. Yeah. And then
into the quarter.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess. The Russians threw the puck away a lot. I watched most of their game this morning in terms of just trying to make fancy plays. And the Slovaks were just kind of putting a stick in the lane. And they were trying to make these long diagonal passes that, whether they think they're that much more skilled than everybody or it's just kind of what they do, right?
Well, and anybody, either one of those games, anybody who follows enough sports knows that the severe underdog, which Slovenia is absolutely, no matter what NHL players are not,
right?
They are an underdog.
Yep.
The Slovaks to the Russians are always going to be an underdog.
Right.
Anytime you allow the underdog to stick around, you know, they get a little confidence from that.
Yeah. Well, both those teams were down 2-0 and made comebacks.
In the third.
Yep.
Yeah.
Unreal, man.
So I'm totally stoked to see what happens here. I told you right from the beginning, I'm interested in this tournament.
So it's Canada versus USA women at 10 p.m.
I'll be watching Eastern, some of that.
Yeah, me too. And then Canada, Switzerland for the men starts at 7 a.m. That's a tougher...
Yeah, I will not be watching that because I'll
be working and whatnot.
I'll be on my way to work.
Yeah. I think that's it, man.
You know what? It's not over till I say it's over.
Oh, all right.
No, it's really...
Just like our Valentine's.
Yeah. That's all I got, man. Really.
Let's get the fuck out of here then.
See ya.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.